like.
Yeah, you can be as candid as you want to be. So welcome to the Bomb Pod here. Awesome. I'm super excited for the first interview I've done in almost around a year. I've been wanting to have you on my podcast for the longest time because I know you'd give me shit. And a lot of people weren't willing to challenge me on it. And I am so glad you're here. Introduce yourself.
I'm so excited. Let me see. Where do I start? My name is Alex. I've known JP for a hot minute. We've gone 5 years? 5 years. 3 years.
I think four.
Maybe four. But we've definitely had ups and downs in our relationship. Yeah, you're laughing because you know exactly what I mean. You know, we were really cool at one point, and then I don't know what the fuck happened, and I probably thought we were never going to speak again. And somehow, I feel like you and I are similar in the sense that we like to see the best in people sometimes.
It's better to.
Yeah, but I think it's the reason why we're sitting here right now.
Yes. Yeah, you know what? It is. And all that positivity is going to lead to us talking about how terrible this year was. So I'm sure you had different dreams and aspirations like we were talking about earlier about like when like 2020 hit, you're like, oh, man, this is going to be it. It's just going to happen. And then by March, it wasn't. So if you want to, what were things you're looking forward to and how did you transition? How was that time for you?
I can remember counting down 2019 and thinking, okay, 2020 is going to be my year. I was surrounded by my family and I just remember thinking like, oh, I'm going to get the job. I had just started this role at work. So I was like, going to crush it for sure. Like had, you know, a goal in mind at work. I had thought about the relationship I had got out of that year and maybe it was something that was going to progress again. I was just like, I don't know. There was just so much that I thought to myself that this is going to be it. 2020 is just, it's a brand new way of looking at things and I'm going to leave the negativity behind. I'm going to just not care about what people think and it's funny because you and I have talked about this before, like creating my own brand. That was something that was on my mind. There was just so much. And then everything kind of took a pause and 2019 completely changed. I was suddenly not going to work anymore. And my grandfather got sick. A bunch of things happened in my life where I was just not ready for. But it changed my perspective completely.
What do you feel is like the worst part of the isolation of the year? Because as much as everybody likes the front that they've used all their time for very constructive things, I feel that a lot of upkeep of that has been lost because we lose the ability to be social. You lose the ability to see your friends. You lose the ability to see the things you wanted to do, the stuff that you wanted to plan. How did you cope with just being indoors all the time? Like what family did you have there to support you? What activities have you been doing to keep yourself busy?
I think the hardest part was being alone with yourself. I'm a huge people person. Like I love being around friends. I love being around just like my team and going to work every day. And when I found myself alone in my head, I started to really understand that you really are your worst enemy. And the things that you think about dictate where you're going to go, essentially. Right? And there was like a switch almost that happened. And I started to think about what can I do differently because I'm not going to sit here and just feel bad about myself. I would wake up every morning. I would look in the mirror. There were days I felt so much anxiety. I would just like, oh, I'm not happy with what I'm looking at. I look in the mirror every day and I'm like, oh, I wish this or I wish that. And like there was just one day I said, you know what? I had tried to start spinning in January. And then I was going with a girlfriend and she stopped being consistent. So I was like, oh, she's not going. I'm not going to keep going. When March hit, I was like, why am I going to wait for somebody else to put in the work that I'm going to beat myself up over because I didn't do? So I was like, you know what? I'm going to make my own group. So I just started asking different friends to come that were serious about changing their lives or doing something more for themselves. And I said, okay, like, this is what I want to do. Y'all want to come? Y'all can come. If not, whatever. And now I have a group of like 7 friends and we all go spinning since March. It's mm-hmm. been 2-3 months. And from there, I started to notice that every time I looked in the mirror, it wasn't that I was staring at this or chasing this idea of perfect. I was chasing this idea of progression. So sometimes I've learned it's not about being perfect. It's about progression. It's not about perfection. It's about progression, right? And I started to see that, oh, I sleep better at night now because I'm working out. My mind is not constantly racing on different things. I feel more energized. I feel more connected with my mind and my body. And from there, it just kind of took off. Like, what more can I do to continue to feed into this? Change my diet. As of lately, now I'm doing spinning and I started to incorporate weight training. So it's really not about like, oh, I want a 6-pack or whatever. I feel good. I want to feel good.
Have you noticed it makes you feel better? Or, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, me included, have worked out in numerous amount of years and it evolves kind of like how you think about it over time. But I also think I'm at a point where I'm like, I hate doing this anyways, but like mentally, every time you sweat and every time you do that, your body does feel better.
Yep.
Are you still fighting it in some way? Or are you coming to like terms of embracing it? Because it doesn't sound like the physique, like body happens as a result, right?
Yeah.
As you change your diet. But I get it. As soon as you don't harp on it, you're doing it for health reasons, for mental health, right?
Yep.
So has it been able to change your mood? Do you feel like a synergistic like diet?
I feel more confident in myself.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember when I first started spinning, it was like, oh, this is fun. Right. But I'm like tired or like halfway through the class. I'm like, I just want to sit down. And now I remember it evolving and me looking at the mirror as I'm spinning and saying, you are your biggest, like, you're your worst enemy. The only thing that is stopping you from continuing to go faster, to not give up, it's your mind. Like, your mind is telling you that you can't. But that's you. And the only thing that matters in life is you versus you. So if you tell yourself, I can do this, it's going to hurt. It's going to be difficult, but I can do it. That's what continued to motivate me. And it's like, I don't care who's in the room. It's just like, I can keep going. I can keep doing this. And once I'm done, it just feels so good because I did it for me. I didn't do it for nobody else. I didn't. So like, that's what drives me. That's right now. That's been like the highlight of my year is just, wow, like, I'm doing this for me. I feel good about me. I don't care what Fulanito says and Fulanita says, like, just do what feels right for you.
You know, it sometimes as you're growing up or as you're being raised or if you have people, it's hard to be you because sometimes you feel like what you is sometimes made me misunderstood. And there's even now there's just so much examples online of what people think you should be.
Yeah.
I'm happy that you found at least a balance for that because I know that's a personal struggle for mine. Just being like being yourself all the time when the majority of the world is putting you into categories or into places that you're submitting to rather than like admitting that you're one of those things. What strengths has all these things fueled for you? Like, what things are you doing now that you haven't done before? Like, what like thought processes are you having that you didn't do before? Because now you're obviously healthier. So that means you're probably having different thoughts, right? Different ideas of things.
Yeah, I think that I don't know. I always felt that I was, like, I know I have a strong character and I'm not the easiest pill to swallow. I know that. But I see the relationships that I had, for example, and I was always kind of like, oh, well, this ended because of this. And, like, they got to work on themselves, right? And the majority, like, the last two relationships, that's what I thought. I'm like, and I was right. I still think I'm right. But at the same time, you have to own your part. And one of the things that, and I love my dad for this, but he's always told me since I was a little girl, like, you can't love someone else if you don't love yourself. And at one point, I started to think about, I'm like, am I incapable of love? Like, is it just that, like, I can, I don't know. I started to feel almost like, oh, I love this person. I love being around this person. But why do I not feel like I can really be in love with this person? Because I think there's two different things. And now we're getting deep here. But I reflected, right? Like, my last relationship ended. And I was like, okay, like, you go work on you. And immediately there was something that changed in me. And I wish I could tell you what it was. I honestly don't, like, I can't pinpoint it. But I remember going, like, a whole week. I stopped wearing makeup. I mean, a whole month I went no wearing makeup. And I said, I'm going to love myself in my own skin. Like, I don't have to wear makeup to attract somebody else. And then it was my hair. Oh, I don't have to do my hair every day. You know, if I want to, I have really curly hair. And I think I posted a picture on Instagram maybe 2 weeks ago or so. And it's something that I've always been self-conscious of, right? So at one point I was like, oh, I'll wear my hair curly. And it was like, not even there. This year I said, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to do it. And I was like, posted on Instagram, this is what I look like. This is the real me. This is my curly hair. And I put a poll up. I was surprised by the amount of responses that I got. Like, everybody's like, wear your hair curly, do it more often, blah, blah, blah. And it just, again, just kind of, it's a testament to the things that I've started to tell myself. Like, why are you going to care what other people think? This whole time, I would wake up every morning 2 hours before work to make sure I could straighten my hair so I could look a specific way, right? Where now, I honestly, JP, I wish I could tell you the last time I used a straightener on my hair. I mean, obviously, like, I'm working out more often, so my hair, I'm not going to wash my hair and straighten my hair every day, but I've gone out with my hair curly, and I'm like, I really don't care. Like, this is who I am.
The amount of confidence that working out instills in people is weird. I've never liked to believe it because I've always worked out for sport. But on the relationship note, shout out for taking responsibility of some sort. That's always nice, like, reflecting and being like, even though it's the majority you, I do take some, I went through that, as looking back in time.
Tell me more about that. This is why we're here.
You know,
I want to know all of it.
It takes some reflecting to realize where you've been wrong and how you wrong others. So I've come up with this conclusion of you're not going to find what you want until you break even and so here's the kicker. You don't know your numbers because a lot of people are biased. So, like, I could say I've done 5 bad things and 5 good things, but that's self-assessment. There's no way I can predict. I just know that, there's damage been done. And even in my last relationship, one of the mental things that I was aware of is just like, you know what? If something happens to me in this situation, it's because I've done something to someone else in another. Like, it's just like life karma coming at you. So it made me more empathetic because I'm just like, I have to understand because I know who I am. So, like, how can I just be like dismissive or just be like, you shouldn't be that way? No one was telling me that shit. So now it's like, imagine, as you eclipse your your bad habits, you have to look back at them. There's certain points where you have to grow past them and not like be held down by them. Like, it's kind of like what you mentioned, like the love stuff. In my experience, I kind of realized that there's people who do not know how to receive love, because if they're not ever in a situation,
but it's probably because they don't love themselves.
Exactly. It works both ways. Yep. So like,
been there, done that.
So there's this, and just like you said, with your dad stuff, a topic that's been on my mind is parental privilege, because unfortunately now I see my peers. You know, if you're raised with one parent, you know, you're so fucked. Like, you're fucked somehow. You don't know how to hold a relationship. You've gotten only one side of the juice, like, for your development years.
That's actually really true. I mean, like, at least I believe that, because mm-hmm. I grew up with just my mom. And I didn't really have the best relationship with my dad growing up. Like, I mean, like, I would see him maybe once or twice a year. And every time he came to visit, we would go to the mall or go to Toys R Us, and he would buy me all these things, and I was like, yay, best dad ever. But once you start to grow up, and you obviously seeing the relationship I have with my mom, I would compare and be like, why do I not have this relationship with my dad? You know, like, I wanted more than that, than just like, pick me up, let's get this, cool, ice cream, all right, bye. Like, you completed your task of cool, I was a dad. It wasn't until like my dad got sick and it kind of changed my perspective and his. Mm-hmm. And now my dad's one of my best friends. But it took time to get there. And I do think that in a way, sometimes even in relationships, I'll tell myself, am I this way because this is what I saw from my mom? Because I didn't really see much from my dad growing up. Like, he had girlfriends here and there, but I wasn't around for 300 and something days of the year. Mm-hmm. So now I see how he is with my stepmom, and it's very different. I'm like, wow, like, I've seen my dad evolve and grow also. So it's also changing the way that I look at relationships now. Mm-hmm. Because he's been with my stepmom, I think, like, I don't know if it's 15, 18 years, some crazy thing. And she's amazing. Like, I love her. I love the relationship that they have. And now I have hope that, oh, okay, I can still find someone maybe later on in life, because right now there's, like, this social pressure. Once you get, like, I feel like once I turned 27, I was like, oh, shit, am I supposed to, like, be in a relationship and start thinking about the future and kids and stuff?
No one said that. You just noticed that there's more 18-year-olds than ever. There's now a 10-year-old gap from the competition. And they're younger, more replaceable, and have more followers on IG. It's just an unmatchable game, but we're not talking
about TikTok. What?
Yeah. That's if you're not on it, you're already a boomer and you're aged, and that's it. You're worth no social currency. Wow. But besides all that frivolous stuff. So basically stuff,
you're saying that we're old now. Is that what you're saying?
That's why I wanted to preface that with social currency. I mean, it's not real. You can't trade it in for anything else.
I don't know, because technically if you have a shit ton of followers, you can request a lot of money for you to promote a specific thing.
Look, I know IG models, and I don't, those problems are gonna happen later in life for them, not currently. I have a friend who has a kid with one of them, and she makes all of her money off Fashion Nova, and it's just an ungodly
sum. If you're listening to this, please don't ever fucking shop from Fashion Nova, okay? Look, like, before you buy some shit, just look at where you're buying it from.
Bravo, it's gonna make you so upset. You're a hardworking woman. How much they make to do nothing is upsetting. It has to mess up with your brain, though. Like, you shouldn't be earning that much money for an IG post. You shouldn't.
That shit's wild.
Yeah, and it just messes with your head. It messes with your psyche.
It does. I think it does.
But like you know what? Like, you were mentioning, I remember when you didn't have such a great relationship with your dad. That's actually one of the reasons I actually liked you, because I was like, you know, like, you're normal, like, you got, like, because, like,
oh,
you
were, that's funny.
You were just like always just like too consumed with some appearance. I'm like, I don't know, I don't like this. And it was like one day at Aldair's, shout out to Aldair's, he was here, that your dad texted you something on WhatsApp and you're like visibly disappointed. I'm like, ha, you're human. So I was like, ever since then, I was just like, okay. Wow,
I remember that day.
I was like, okay, you regular. Like, you can only front for so much. So, like, I've never seen you disappointed. Like, you're visibly disappointed. I was like, okay. there's more complexity here. And not to dwell on that till now, where like a couple days ago, you reposted like what your dad posted. Like,
yeah.
That's fucking awesome. Like, to have that kind of growth and to have that kind of, I know you've had to forgive and forget certain things that have happened in your existence.
100%.
But taking advantage of what that is now and just turning that new leaf of stuff and acknowledging that in your growth is paramount. Like, for what I've gone through, I am in full awareness of that now and where that puts me in a place. But you're lucky that you're already in full awareness of it now before it becomes like something that it's just like you have to save rather than you can just learn from. My dad was always the parent that had the most wisdom.
I feel that way about my dad too.
Mm-hmm. It's like a different learning. Like you're learning through story, not necessarily. Like, I feel like mom is learning. You shouldn't do this, but why? Because no, I'm like that doesn't teach me nothing. But like I feel that you now embracing that and having all these different changes, it's led you to a more. How my mentor described it to me, like looking at everything from 30,000 feet up, rather than being like so consumed with like the minute of the day, you're like, is this really a big of a deal?
You know, I think that gratitude equals happiness. Like that's something that I've really tried to focus on this year, and I think that that's why I'm in the place that I feel right now. Like I may not have everything to make the perfect life, right? But I'm so happy with myself and where I am because growth looks differently to everyone. And right now, there's just been so much self-growth. And I couldn't be happier for that. You know, I'm happy because I'm growing and every day I count the things that I do have, the things that not everybody could have. Right. Like we were talking about this before, but even I look at other people and their relationship with their parents well before and I'd be like, oh, I don't. OK, like that's normal. And other people would look at me and they would say, oh, you're so lucky you have this relationship with your mom or you're so lucky you have this relationship with your dad. And I was like, I don't really get it. And now I look at it and I'm so grateful because I've had really uncomfortable conversations with my dad. But that happened within the last 2 years. Before that, I would have been like, no, I can't do that.
Was it one way or two ways?
It was definitely both ways. It was interesting because I went to Houston in December and I went to go see my dad. And I remember one day we're sitting, this is going to be difficult for me to talk about, but we were sitting in a restaurant. What kind of broke my relationship with my dad was when I was 18 years old. My dad lives in Venezuela. My mom has raised me my whole life, basically almost my whole life in Miami. And when I was 18 years old, I was going out with a guy at the time. It was his 21st birthday. And we had gone out for drinks. Obviously, the guy's like partying, whatever. When we leave, my best friend picks me up, takes me home, says, hey, you shouldn't drive. Obviously, that's why I picked you up. Just stay here. Please do me a favor. Stay here. Obviously, me being the rebel that I am, I was like, fuck that. I'm not going to stay home. So my mom was sleeping. My grandmother would come to Miami once a year, and she had a car here. Took the car, went out, crashed the car against a house. Not just a car. It was against a house. It broke a bunch of property. It was freaking terrible. My mom, thankfully, there was a guy driving behind me. It was super late. It was like 2 in the morning, whatever. There's a guy driving behind me. He sees the whole thing, stops. I like rolled out of the car because I decided to jump out while it was moving. It's one of the scariest moments in my life, which, by the way, I don't know if you believe in spirits. I do. I'm not super religious, but I believe in spirits. And when I was driving the car, I lost control. The car's spinning, and I hear this voice in my head say, jump out of the car. If you want to survive, jump out of the car. Took my seatbelt off, rolled out of the car. Once I did, the car hit the house, and it was like, it literally looked like a slinky. Think of a slinky. Like, that's literally what my grandma's car looked like. So yeah, that happened, and I roll off the ground. I remember all my clothes was like ripped. I was wearing shorts and like this little t-shirt. Everything was ripped. The guy stops. He's like, "Hey, you need some help? Can I call somebody for you?" I could barely speak. My hands were shaking. I was like, my mom. So my mom's on the phone. All I hear is him like telling him what happens. And she's like, "Put her on the phone." She puts me on the phone. I'm like, "Hello?" And she just starts yelling. And I'm like, I couldn't. I give him the phone. And so I just remember paramedics and ambulance and cops and just like a billion people coming out of their houses, it seemed like. My mom comes. And they have, like, all this caution tape all over the whole scene. My mom's trying to get by. She's like, "Oh, it's my daughter. It's my daughter." And they're like, "Oh." And she says that the first cop she spoke to said, "You're lucky your daughter's alive." So that sits with me because I'm like, wow, maybe I could have lost my life that day. I would have freaking hit the house and that's it. It would have been over, you know? But something inside of me told, like, there was a voice. I promise you, there was a voice that said, "Hey, jump out." And I was like, "Fuck it, I'm gonna jump out." And whoever that was, whatever angel I have watching over me, saved my life. And so, anyways, point of the story was that night, my mom obviously calls my dad to let her know what's going on. And my dad, remember, so I see my dad once a year, whatever. "Hey, cool, mm-hmm. You bought me this, whatever." And that day he decides to be a dad and want to discipline me and, "Hey, like, you can't do this. You shouldn't say this. Like, you did this and look what's going to happen." Because I got sued by the people whose house I hit. Yeah. Which I'm not even sure I should be talking about this, but fuck it. It's been a long time. But anyways, yeah, I got sued. And obviously there was a lot of money involved and my dad had to get involved with my mom and whatever. So one day he's like calling me and we have this conversation and it was just like that. "Oh, I'm disappointed. Like, it's not, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed. I hate that shit. Ugh." And it's like, "Oh, after 18 years, you want to come and be disappointed." Mm. Awesome. So we had that conversation one day. The phone's ringing. I see my dad's number. So I was about to pick up, but my mom picks up. And they're having this conversation. I pick up to listen because she seems really upset. I pick up to listen and I hear my dad tell my mom, "You failed as a mother. This is your fault." And after that, she just kept listening to what he was saying. At one point, she hung up and she starts crying. Obviously, my mom's like the biggest role model I've had in my life. So seeing her, and she's the strongest person I've ever met in my life. And I see her break and start crying over what he said. And I was like, "I hate this person. I don't, like, who are you? Why would you say that to him?" To her, I'm sorry. And that was really hard. And after that, it was just like, yeah, I never said anything to him about that. He didn't know. So last year, we continued our relationship and it was like here and there, like, "Hey, how are you?" "Oh, good. Happy birthday. Merry Christmas. I saw you for a little bit. I live in this stranger's house." It feels like when I would go visit, because I also have brothers with him, and it was like, "Oh, you're my brother. Awesome. Like, I want to love you." But it just feels weird because I'm living in a house that doesn't feel like it's mine because I don't really have that relationship with my dad or my stepmom. Mm-hmm. And last year, during the time that I went to Houston, at one point we sat down, we were drinking, which was probably a bad idea, but that brought up a lot of feelings. And at one point he says, "Oh, I just don't understand why your mom doesn't talk to me." And I was like, "Oh, you don't understand? Let me tell you why." That was the first time I've ever stood up to my dad. We cried. We had a whole conversation. And that day, we were staying at my cousin's place in Houston. And whatever, we went through the night. We didn't really kind of acknowledge what had happened. That night, he slept next to me because we were like guests. So he was sleeping on like a sofa bed. And I was sleeping on an inflatable mattress. We were sleeping next to each other, which was funny because it was like the first time I've ever bunked with my dad. 27 years old, here I am. And the next morning, we wake up and he reaches over and he grabs my hand and he says, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, but you were right for everything that you said yesterday. That shit hit me like a knife. This is a man that I've looked up to my whole life, who I never thought would... My dad was like probably in... He's a very prideful man. And I think that I've... As a result, I've been very prideful for a lot of my life. I admit that now. It took me 27 years to admit that I'm very prideful. But that moment defined something for me, because I said, if I could have this difficult conversation with him that allowed him to realize something, then I have to be okay with having those kind of conversations with other people as well. Because he told me, he's like, sometimes, like, you as a parent, you think that you're always going to be the person that's teaching your kid something, but it could be the other way around. He's like, I forget that. Sometimes you can teach me things. It was such a, to me, that was such a defining moment, because now after that happened, I was like, cool, like, you understand how I feel. You understand what's been bothering me. You understand where you went wrong. We can move forward. We can move forward. And now, like, if I have to have a difficult conversation with my dad, yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. And he's okay with it. And that's what nurtures a relationship, I feel. You can't just go about life pretending that everything's butterflies and flowers all the time. You have to also acknowledge the ugly stuff, because from that, there's so much potential for growth.
You did mention how...
I went on a rant there.
Big rant. So you did mention a couple, I think when we were texting, about, like, you were speaking to somebody who just wasn't into growth. They just wanted to be comfortable, and they just chose comfort and, like, upset about the growth stuff. Have you really embodied just how much, like, pain and suffering it takes to whatever, to get whatever you want to be? Have you really just, like, acknowledged that, like, look, it's going to be an uphill battle to get to my goals? It's not, there's no saving here. There's no, like, there's no, after, especially after this year. Do you feel like you really have control of all your destiny and you really have control of everything you want to do?
No, I mean, I don't think that. I think that life is way too unpredictable. That's kind of what this year has taught us, if anything. But I think that life is definitely what you make of it. And you can either allow those hard times to define you, or you can define it. You can get up, you can decide to wake up every morning and say, I'm going to do something differently that my future self is going to thank me for. Or I can continue to sit here and feel bad for myself, or continue to hate the world, or continue to just blame external sources. Like, I really do believe that your mind is such a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. And you can make what you want out of it. Like, I remember specifically, you and I used to talk about, I think it was like Gary Vee and like just different people who are entrepreneurs, and how they wake up at 4 or 5 in the morning and go out, get a workout in, go to work, come home, they're a husband, a father, they do all this stuff and then go to bed and then they do it all over again the next day. I never thought in a million years I would be the person that's trying to squeeze in all these different things just to do it, because it makes me feel good about myself, you know? Like, I was like, I'm not going to wake up early to go work out. I'm going to wake up an hour before work and go to my job and get it done. And
been there. But then when you cater that time for yourself, it's marvelous. Like, on the days that I work on myself mostly, I have, like, 8 p.m. clock out time. We're going to have, there's an 8 p.m. clock out time usually, because I want to mentally, I give myself a mentally relaxed hour. Like, and I also flipped it. So I wake up early enough to do all the stuff I enjoy first, to get momentum into my day. So let's say if I work at noon, I need to get an hour of guitar in. I want to see some YouTube. I want to make sure I work out. Like, I want to make sure I do all those things prior. So when I get to work, there is that momentum of positivity, rather than wake up an hour into it and, like, fuck, you gotta, like, you're like a drunk asshole just, like, scourging for clothes and just, you just gotta get there right before you clock in. what happens if you took that momentum of positivity on my bathroom, because I spent so much time there, I basically have, I posted a board of my morning instructions every morning.
You're kidding. I need to see this before I go.
Yeah, I'm dead ass. So I'll never forget. So in the morning, you go do your morning shit. It's right there. I can't forget. So it just keeps me balanced every morning that I want to do this, this, this. And it's very meticulous because I eventually learned my pattern and I know how scatterbrained I am. So it's like the Ten Commandments of my morning that I just make sure I follow.
Okay, so now that we're on the subject, because I do want to know this, since I've met you, there was like a switch at some point that, because I talked about that for myself, right? But there was a point for you that there was some sort of switch that happened that you said, I need to work on myself. I need to do something different. You started working out. You lost a bunch of weight. You eat differently. I got here. He's like, oh, I just made salmon. If I would have known you were hungry, I would have made you some salmon. Like, JP fucking 4 years ago was not going to talk to me about salmon, first of all. So let's talk about that.
So it all stemmed from my spinal injury.
Okay.
I was tired of dealing with it, and it just became such a nuisance in my life and everything I was doing. And eventually, when I had my procedure done, my doctor told me, unless you stay in shape, this will be a persistent issue. That's there is no bargaining chip. It's like you put on more weight, you put more stress on your discs, and you might have, you know, like plates and screws and all these nasty things that I don't necessarily want.
Yeah, no.
So I needed to find a strategy to lose weight, and I've tried everything. I was an athlete growing up. So for me, I've only known that mentality of getting in shape. So when I was playing volleyball, when I was playing soccer, that's what I remember. But that's not applicable as an adult that isn't trying to have a specialized muscle source. So I remember looking up fasting and seeing, I remember we were saying outside, I don't want to do it. I learned the benefits of fasting. And one of the main benefits of fasting is your stomach wastes so much time processing food, it can't heal itself. So instantly that clicked in my head. I was like, fuck it. So I have to do it. So the less time I spent eating, the better I can feel. It was that easy to do because it made sense. Because I understood gut health and how that transmitted into your brain. So I was like, fuck it. All I have to do is drink black coffee till noon. I can handle that. I'm not a bitch. So
I've heard that recently.
Yeah.
I've been trying to do that. Even though, honestly, I'm not the kind of person that wakes up at like 7. Even if I was to wake up at 7 in the morning, mm-hmm. I can't have breakfast so early. Not anymore. I used to because I love breakfast food. But now I feel the same way. I like feel the benefits of, like, even if I wake up early, I'm just going to run off caffeine until, like, 12.
I have a recipe for a super coffee, but I'm not willing to share that.
Okay, you can tell me that offline because I do want to know that.
But I am fully invested in... So a lot of people focus on, like, dieting for losing weight, but they don't focus on dieting for having your brain function better. Like, there's ways that you can have better cognitive function. And the reason I found this out is because I was going through massive depression and I got over it. And I was like, I'm tired of feeling this way. Like, I had like my conscience telling me I'm not sad at anything, but I don't want to do anything. I don't want to live. I don't want to do anything. So what do you do at that point? Like, while I'm fasting and doing this stuff, I read some information and I learned that there's nutrient deficiencies that allow you just to be sadder easier. So that was a good starting point. And then like I did enough research where I'm like, okay, everything's on Amazon. Get this, get this, get this, start taking this. And I've been feeling amazing ever since because I decided to feed my brain nutrients. I think I saw you eating avocado a couple of days ago.
I love avocado. Yo, I could eat avocado every single day.
It's that and pistachios for me. That's where, and salmon. All my healthy fats come from that. Fats are brain food. So like protein is like body food. Carbs are like that high, you know, like good gasoline. But like fats are brain food. And like think about it. where does your depression come from? Your anxiety come from? All that shit. It's in your fucking head. So think about the nutrients you're feeding your brain.
Your mind is your worst enemy.
Right? And that happens to me. I learned that through this situation. I couldn't turn my brain off. There's no substance that allowed me to do that. There wasn't a distraction that allowed me to do that. There wasn't a thing that I enjoyed that I could do. That you name it. It's just distracting. Playing PlayStation, playing guitar, drinking, like hanging out with a girl. It was all the same things in my brain. So like, how do you deal with that? How do you enjoy life when you're constantly being reminded of all these things? Months later, then I realized that. That and like taking the road trip alone was what really helped me just kind of get more centered.
What inspired you to do that?
I lost it. I gave up. Like a big white flag of like, fuck everything. Luckily for me, I had the income and I rented a car and I left. That's it. It was from that Saturday at my dad's thing, eulogy, where things were already, what was it? Our youngest brother got called up to speak. I have a 20-year-old brother who was a kid. Shout out to David. and he got called up to speak. And I didn't prepare anything. I wasn't told. And neither was
I mean, but I think that's kind of a given.
It is kind of a given. It wasn't, the thing was, it wasn't organized by like our side of the family. It was organized by my dad's second wife afterwards. So like the information, of course, didn't devil down. And so my dad's side of the family heard all that stuff and there was upsetness there. And then that side of the family, there was upsetness. And in the midst of all this, like, you know, my brother's up there crying. And then I'm like, of course I'm going to go up. Like, to support him and support everything. So I had to just deliver an impromptu speech in Spanish and in English. And my other brother had to do the same thing. And then after that, I'm like,
the same thing. If you would say your message in Spanish, you have to go and like, so English.
Yeah. I like, it's just like, I will have like time. That's like a double whammy. It was a double whammy. I was like, really? Like,
because you're taking these words that are pretty profound. I'm sure they weren't easy for you to do. And it's
I would have liked to know
English.
I would have liked to, I am a big preparer. So like, I would like to been, especially for that. I wanted to be emotionally prepared for the things I was going to say. Can I wing it? Yeah. And I fucking did it. But like, that doesn't mean.
Do you feel like it came from the heart?
Of course it did. But it doesn't mean I wouldn't want to know in advance. And it just kind of added to the dysfunction of the year. And I was like, fuck this. I'm out. Like, I just didn't have to be at work. I didn't have to do nothing. Like, everything in my life is so, I have so much freedom that I took advantage of it. And I visited friends along the way and they gave me great advice. And I heard different opinions from different people. So that kind of alleviated my mind. And I entered every conversation. Everyone says, hey, how you doing? I just hit them with doom and then like easily got them open to me. I got access to everybody and that helped me out a lot.
Do you feel like you having to speak at the eulogy impromptu kind of resurface maybe some things that you didn't want to confront that caused you to pick up?
There was a time in the middle of July where I eventually broke down and I eventually allowed everything to hit me. And after that, then I was an emotional fucking wreck for a bit, which I'm sure led to other things. So that was already an admittance, but I was up to date with my feelings of how I felt. Transmitting them is another thing, and I'm the oldest, and like there's just certain pressures on me, and the family doesn't help anything. And when we were dealing with stuff here, they're, you know, they speak Spanish, and you have to handle everything over the phone, and COVID is still like a thing that's like no one knows how to handle. So there's multipliers as to why this time was super frustrating. So, besides developing thick skin, I know for a fact I can't look back at this time until like a good 5-10 years later to see what it actually did to me. I don't know. I just know that I'm at peace. Like, that's more important. But I'm at peace with the father stuff. I got to mourn out on my own on my road trip. So
what makes you feel like you're at peace?
Traveling was okay. On my own. And to be honest, the only way I know how to deal with stuff is through music. So just having music in a car ride and no destination to go was enough. Where I'm on my own and I could just deal with my thoughts. I put my songs in shuffle and just dealt with the emotions as I could. My dad was a big inspiration as to how I treat myself and how I think about myself. So his advice has always been just, you got to be the best at what you do. And I've alienated that internally on my own stuff. So it just became more aware that, you know, I just need to just be who I am. Like, I've always known who I am, but, like, there's a society that exists, and I've been trying to pick a square peg in a circle hole this entire time. And I'm just over it. And I think the uncertainty of COVID that just says, like, hey, this is more wild, wild west than you think. You think you have job security. You think you have security.
Yeah.
You don't. You're lucky your company moved you into something. My company's decided to fire me and hire me, like, separately. Before this all happened, this girl got a new job. I got a new job. And we had plans. And then all this shit strikes. And I lost one job. I had to go back to my prior job, which then fired me. And then this job hires me. It's just like, you don't plan for those things. But there is some caveat that it adds to you. There's some strength that it adds to you. One of the things I wanted to tell you based on that is just because it made me be more aware of the people who've decided to just hang around in my existence. whether that be from afar or from close. It draws a bigger appreciation. Because one thing I've learned this year is like the people I never would plan to leave, leave.
Yeah.
That's some shit. Yeah. Like, you know, like people that I've known, I've gone above and beyond for, where I know there's no lightning that could strike me down, where I know I've been solid.
A fucking men.
You know, what do you
preaching
do?
Preaching to the choir right now.
What do you do about that? And so because of that, it made me take a distance look and be like, you know what? I have not been nurturing people who willingly have stayed on my ride, and I've been guilty, and I decided to approach everybody humbly and just be like, look, I'm just like, just directly how we're talking in this room, I'm thankful that you're in my life and that you choose to acknowledge my existence of any sort and that you practice what you preach, because there's a respect factor there that applies to you. Because a lot of people will say these things on the internet or want to be these things, but they don't necessarily exude that as a character, and they kind of fake the funk. One thing I've always liked about you is that the fire is there, like you mentioned earlier, the rebelness. And one thing I've always think is just like, once you figure out how to put that in a box and sell it to people, you'll be all right. But in the meantime, you're just going to fucking struggle. Because I could see it, like, I could see it from the jump. I'm like, oh, there's a thing here. But you have to, I guess part of your journey as it is with mine is like, how do you be the most you? It's hard. It's hard to just want, like, I know what that is. I'm sure you know what that is for you. I don't know. I think we should definitely take a break.
All right.
And we'll be right back. And so we're back. We took a good break. We had some snacks. We had water to drink. And we were talking about the subject of friendship. So, you know what? How have your friendships grown or shrunk during COVID? During this great 2020? What's happening with your friends? How are your friends doing?
I feel this year again has been like just revelations. We've been on the subject of revelations, and I've, for the most part, all my friends have kind of stayed the same. My friends have stayed the same, but I've kind of learned to see how different people cope with different things. And at the same time, it unifies kind of like my ideas as to, is this really the friendship that I want to have or keep in my life? Because a lot of people right now I've heard, oh, if relationships can get through this, they can get through anything, which is true, 100%. Listen, if you're married right now or you're in a relationship, a fucking kudos to you, because being stuck with someone for a lot of time every single day, like, it's not easy. It's not. But if you can get through that for months at a time, like, you can't leave your house, you need to stick together, and you can do it, that must really be the person for you.
I had an extended stay like that.
Okay.
And you know what?
Safe to say they got kicked out.
It was interesting.
COVID 2020 edition.
Just the amount of not like self you can feel like in the presence of a loved one, right? It's like it feels suffocating, especially for me when I'm super introverted, and like you see how this room is. It's me. It's for me, and there's not much sharing here for that. So when this base gets invaded for a long amount of time, it ends up being much more compromising and less more personal. So I can only imagine with people with no backyard and another cramped situation, how it could really eat at you. At the same time, though, the irony I found in all this is, like, isn't this what everybody wanted, though? If you had some time.
Yeah, but we always want what we can't have.
I've redefined that. Not only do you want what you can't have, you want what's not right for you.
Yeah, because it's the opposite of things that you're supposed to want.
It just becomes like a...
We want the opposite. We always want the opposite. They weren't kidding when they said opposites attract.
I don't believe in that one still. I don't believe in that one. I have not drawn any positivity into my black hole heart. It doesn't occur that way.
If that was not true, then I would not be sitting here.
No, not necessarily that. I'm saying, like, relationship-wise.
But we were talking about friendships. And we were friendships essentially are relationships.
That's true. But you also... Right. How am I going to put this in a nice way? There's no nice way to put it. You haven't been around in a year. So, like, obviously, like, whatever microcosms of transformations that occur that could have made you and I both annoying to each other just didn't persist. It's more like hey, there's a vacuum of time that occurs. So imagine, like, when you have someone with you all the time, they don't see your growth. It's more like they see your flaws. Because, like, you're not... objectively grading somebody on a scale, nor should you, right? Nor should you look at a partner every day and be like, well, he didn't wake up early today. That's weird. Like, and you shouldn't be that person either, but at the same time, you're not finding positive stuff. And I think that's what happened with a lot of people, because you lose income, you have insecurities, you have all this stuff. You can have somebody who, let's say, gets into a lot of heavy, like, substances, or has somebody who does a positive effect and uses all the free time to learn or do stuff. Both of those polarizing things are polarizing. So I find that although all relationships are based for me on the same pillars, this year has taught me that that doesn't mean that my awareness of that and the person I'm sharing that with awareness of that doesn't mean it's their reality. Loyalty for me is like a huge pillar of mine. But now comes in the concept of recognition. Can you be loyal to a fault? And would it be right for you to demand loyalty out of your partner? Is that equal? Because loyalty means loyalty to a fault. Loyalty means through and through. And what happens if you're being an idiot and someone's following you into idiot? There's so much more to it. I hit you with too much.
Nah, honestly, like... Nah, I thought about this too, and I think that there is loyalty to a fault. I learned that from my last relationship. Like, there would be moments where I would test my partner and be like, you know what? I'm just going to wake up today and say that the sky is purple. See what he says. The sky's purple. No, motherfucker, I want you to tell me why it's blue and why I'm wrong. Like, challenge my thinking. You know, don't just go along with the things that I'm saying because I want you to challenge me. Mm-hmm. You're not challenging me. You're not stimulating me. If you're not stimulating me, you're not engaging me. If you're not engaging me, I'm bored. I'm out. Like,
you get bored.
I do. Of course. I do. Like, I need to have a partner that's going to stimulate me mentally. Obviously, in other ways too, but sorry, Dad, if you ever hear this. But I need to have a partner that's gonna be like, "Hey, you're wrong," or "Hey, have you thought about it this way? I know you really believe that this is the way. Sky is purple, but you know, consider maybe blue and this color are kind of, it's kind of like a purple, so it's blue. Okay, but." Yeah, I just can't do it.
I'm a recovering person from that problem, but my problem wasn't from the passiveness, it's from the extremeness. Because for me, it's like, not everything is worth discussing. And it's just more of like a hyper attentive thing. And what I've noticed in my experience, this is like, maybe you're not up for that fight 24 hours a day as much as I am. So I get the opposite approach. So
because you want to be stimulated mentally.
I have.
Sounds like the same thing.
I get like a mental, like burning sensation through stupidity. It just bothers me.
Yeah.
And.
Oh my God. I've learned that so much throughout the last few months.
And it's what I've learned to do, thinking I was right, to be like, you know what? Maybe I should just let you have that. And put that away. And like, she may have thought that, like, it may have been, like, as a sense of she's right. But in reality, I'm just like, I don't want to do this. Now I have learned that I'm going to bulldoze through life with, like, a literal fucking bulldozer. And I'm going to just act as is. And fuck you. Because for me to be in the situation I've been this year, I've had to think of a lot of ways to get out of it. And at that point, I'm just like, you know what? There is never a loss of just being your complete self and telling other people to eat a dick. Like, and if you can do that, man or woman, not only do you attract the best people because they're the ones uncompromisable. Just like you said, the testing thing. I'm sure I failed a whole bunch of tests this year. But like, I don't fucking even care. Because I'm like, life was heavy. Like, it was a lot for me to carry. And if anybody were expected to, like, to be held, I didn't. It was like a blow after blow. Like, kind of like 4 or 5 months. That, like, I am admitting in a podcast, it was fucking difficult. I'm not saying it's easy. So but I could understand why putting up with that or being around that is not something that's tolerable. But then that leads into like relationships and the frivolousness of it, from either side, and how you learn from that. Because you might think that you weren't toxic at the point. And in 5 years, I could be like, you know what, that was me. I don't know. But there's growth in the process of it.
But I think you had a point. You mentioned there could be almost like two kind of people right now through this time. Are you somebody that's going to get up and realize I need to do better? Or are you the kind of person that's like, I don't get it. I'm just, the world is falling apart and I'm anxious and, oh, I'm so sorry that, oh, this happened. Oh, what do I do? Like, you know, like, it's just, what kind of person are you right now? Are you going to fucking get up, get your shit together and say, I can either drown or learn how to swim?
I think on most times I would agree with you. But I feel when you get bombarded with just a large amount of shit, there's just points where I was so self-aware of how deep I am mentally that I just like, I felt like I was in the bottom of a well. But like, yeah. I knew I was. So like, although I would agree with you, like, I've always been that person that's been like, get your shit together and move forward.
But you did. You still did.
Eventually. But what?
No, I'm not saying, I'm not trying to say that. In the process, I guess. It's impossible. Like, you should never feel that way, or it's impossible for you to feel that way. Like, I had dealt with anxiety in the sense that my mom suffers from anxiety, and I've had really tough times with my mom just because of how bad it's been in her life. But I myself had never really got to a point where I was like, I don't want to get out of bed every day, or I just, the thought of if I get up, this and this and this and this can happen, and like all these things, right? I had never really thought about that. In March, I went through that. It was tough. There were literally days where the minute I would wake up, I would get out of bed. Like, my store had closed. So they're like, hey, go home for 3 weeks and then we're going to find out what happens. So I went from having a routine every single day, waking up, making breakfast, doing my hair, going to work, like, whatever, whole thing, right? Like, I had my routine and I went from that to just nothing. So I no longer have to put an alarm on every day. I don't have to wake up for anybody. I don't really care to have breakfast because it doesn't matter what time I wake up. I can just eat in my house. Like, there are just so many different things. And essentially, I hated it. Like, I just woke up every day and it was, I hate not having a sensation of knowing what I'm going to do today. It was just, go to sleep at 3, 4, or 5 in the morning, wake up at 2 in the afternoon. Cool. Then you wake up, you look in the mirror, you're like, this person again. It was just horrible. Like, I just felt zero want to do anything. And they were like, hey, try this online stuff, something that I had never dealt with before. I found zero fulfillment in. This is not what I signed up for. And at the same time, my mom tells me, hey, your grandfather's sick. He has cancer. He's dying. Yeah, that was not easy. At the same time, I was like, great. So I'm not doing what I love anymore. My mom is like depressed and anxious because, oh, my grandfather's dying. I also have to deal with my grandfather dying. I also have to deal with COVID and the fact that, oh, if I have been somewhere an X amount of time, I can't go to my grandfather's house to see him. Oh, now he has to be in the hospital. Only one person can be in the hospital to see him. It was just like so much, so many limitations. And just the idea of kind of like death being around the corner was kind of scary also. And I would wake up and it was like, I can't just think about all the negative things that are going on in the world and in my life because I'm going to drown like this. So I tried to do different things to change that. I started journaling a lot. Every day I would open a journal and I would write down between 3 and 5 things that I was grateful for every day. And that started to shift my mindset. The other thing I did, I would put like random alarm clocks on my phone. So like 3 p.m., 7 p.m., 7:15, 7:29, like things like just random things. And I would literally write, check in with yourself. And if there was a moment where I felt anxious, I would write down the word anxiety. That's what I feel right now. And then I would think about, okay, what is stemming from that is causing that feeling? Anxiety, the thought of messing up at work today. Or the thought of, what if I skip lunch and I don't eat? Okay, so what is causing these two things to happen? Like that. And then really kind of digging in and understanding, wow, this is why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling. If I was happy, I would do the same thing. Why am I happy right now? I am around my family. I am laughing. I'm eating good food. I had 8 hours of sleep last night. Those kind of things. And that's kind of really helped me understand, this is who you are. These are the things that you like about yourself. These are the things that you don't. What are you going to do about it? So from there, it was like, okay, it's time to do work. Are you going to stop working out because some people stopped or because life feels like it's stopped? Or are you just going to continue to work on yourself and stop feeling sorry for yourself? I made a choice.
That's funny. I was so hell-bent to use this time to advance. I was excited. I was like, oh, time off. I love being home. Like, I don't like going out. And I was excited. Like, and sure enough, things started falling apart out of my control. And I was very confused. I'm like, if everyone's home, I don't understand. Like, and then once I started getting my own taste of stuff, it made things abundantly clear that I'm in the thick of it. Like, I don't know if you've ever been into times in your life when you're just like, I just know this sucks. Like, where you're going through like hell week and like boot camp. Like, you just, I'm like, okay, this sucks already because of the job, to this, to that. And that allowed me to literally just forget who I was. Like, I don't remember the things I was doing. I used to make a vlog weekly, things with the guys. Like, I was constantly busy, constantly chasing something. And when you don't factor that as important anymore, it's really hard to work on it. You have trouble in creativity when you don't see a purpose in it.
What do you think from losing your dad was like the moment or like the thing that really affected you the most? It's made you kind of made a flip, because it feels like a pretty defining moment in your life.
The flip of like of from like negativity to positivity, I guess.
Yeah. And you're not obviously, listen, again, we've said this. It's not that you're 100% like, hey, oh my God, the sky is blue today. It's not really that, yeah. But it's like, you know what? I'm not perfect, but I've made progress.
I think when I went to visit my littlest brother.
Littlest is not a word.
Like, it is now. Now in this podcast it is. So when I went to, he's 10 years younger than me. He has a kid. And I went to visit him and I got to learn more about him and just stuff like that. And learn from his experience about what he got to experience. It kind of just made me realize it's not about me. And it was really easy to drop. Not as any negative thing, but more like, you know, I now have a responsibility to worry about him, just because I was 21 and I was an idiot. Add a kid to that and you can multiply the idiot to that. So I want to make sure that he's got a voice to talk to. And it's imperative that it's in my initiative, because he's not going to ask. Like, I was there at that age. You don't ask for shit. You think you know it all at 21, 22. You think you're like, ha, I got the internet. I know all my shit. And he's going to feel that way. In fact, he sunned me before when I think my dad had a second heart attack and I was having trouble with that shit, because I was working with my dad to fix his diet. And he was calling me about this shit because I was feeling just very negative about it. And I'm just like, I'm sitting, you know, like in Dayland by the Chili's across the street. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there like on lunch and I'm just like in this paradox universe of like, my 20-year-old brother is giving me life advice just because he has a kid. He fucking thinks he knows everything. Are you fucking kidding me? Mm-hmm. Like, and then that was the catalyst for me to understand that, yeah, it's different. The age doesn't matter in that respect. The trade-off is, then he is now in that same position and he just views life differently. And my trade-off is I have wisdom that I can give to somebody who can't make that up with that time. So I have 10 years on you, and it's imperative for me to demonstrate something, whether you take it as negative or positive. But, you know, there's another life here at stake for frivolousness, because it impacts me. If he's not on... It's going to hurt me if his head isn't set up straight, because that's then another child who then has to deal with the impurities that we grew up with, and therefore you don't break the cycle and you can just continue the bullshit. Once I realized that it's above me, it's just like, it's made me more empathetic in ways that I never thought I could understand. And it's further made me understand just people's, why they do what they do. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And one thing, it's also never personal. And, you know, I just, yeah, if I'm saying that, you'll get to that point one day.
I don't know.
One day.
I don't know.
There's no, the reason I say that is like, you have to give up on the selfishness to think there's a cloud above you with that. People operate in their own spheres, trying to get their own things and their own things. And, although I've had situations that, I had like a 10-year relationship on and off. Like I've had my shit. So I could tell you that I've seen my share of shit, and you just have to let it go, and it doesn't matter. And these people aren't malicious. It's just how you've handled everything. And that just made a lot of things just much more clear, that I know I am in a sort of control. It's just not the control I wanted to manage originally. You wanted, how I said before in the podcast, like, you know, the load you have is the load you have. You just got to get smarter with how you carry it. Whether you use a fucking cart, where you carry it on your head like this, like, if you're not managing it, you need to figure out a smarter way to do it. You can't just fucking complain that this is what it is. These are the cards you have. I'm sorry. Not everybody gets a full deck. Not everybody gets a royal flush to start with.
Yeah.
So as soon as you come to terms with that and realize that, along the road you've had resources. Like, from the only reason I have a relationship with you is because of that. Is that determined today? Absolutely not. But there is some spirituality to it. There's some science to it. There's some behavior analysis. There's reasons that come from this point from where we started. Because how many people you meet throughout life. There is not... To just leave those things to chance is how you don't value relationships. It's how you don't value when people are there for you. When someone goes out of their way to like your IG post or stuff like that. That's positive energy. And the way that stuff has occurring now, we don't value that as currency anymore. I've had so much loss this year that I just go out of my way to... I text people like, bro, check, you good? I don't fucking need a pretext to speak to you. Like, period. Why? Because I haven't said anything to you like in 3 or 4 months. Fuck that. Life's too short. So I'm gonna check on everybody that I want. I'm gonna be as aggressive as I want in all my relationships. Because I don't want to be that one friend who's just like, oh, I wish. I learned my lesson already with this year. So
there's a lot of emotion in what you're saying right now.
So like, I have to appreciate that. And even though we've had our own terms of stuff, I don't, that the where you want things to be doesn't matter. It's like where the results are. And you give such negatives and positives to people all around your life as you move along forward. When you come to terms with it, or when you come to like where I did, where I lost so much, and just be like, well, who's willing to be here? It doesn't have to be the person I was seeing every fucking day at my house trying to convince to do a plan. It just has to be the person who I could reach out to, like you did, or some of my other friends. Why do you have to? Well, it sucks, but it's true. No one says it's that person you've known for 20 years or that you're like this with. No one's saying that's going to be who's going to end up with you at the end. When I saw my dad's funeral shit, the people who were there to represent him. You can take that concept however you want. But what you need to realize that, you know what's fucking crazy? On my road trip, the song that would come up all the fucking time was Kanye West's Nothing Lasts Forever. All the fucking time. I would always pick Shuffle.
Shout out to Kanye.
People in your life are seasons, and everything that happens is for a reason. So that's just what it is. And as soon as you accept that...
It's easy for the season.
You're an asshole. As soon as you accept that and you don't hold no grudge on them... And their people are just gonna people. It makes everything so much easier.
That's true. Yeah, this year I'm like, I don't know, people act out or people, they just say things or they act a certain way. I'm like, you know what? Instead of saying, oh, this person's stupid, this person's that, I'm like, they must be going through something that they don't know how to react to right now.
That's why I stopped saying political stuff online. It got to a point where I had to like check somebody. I'm like, I've known you for like 20 years. Do you really fucking think I'm like some sort of racist, like backwards ass hick somebody? I'm like, are you like really going to devalue our relationship because you don't want to see nuance or you don't want to uphold a conversation with somebody you supposedly care about? A difficult
conversation.
Everybody, like we talked about earlier, everyone wants the same basic things. How we get there is another story. And we only want to talk about how we get there. We don't want to talk about, hey, does everybody want to be happy? Raise your hand. Yeah. Like, does everybody want to find a thing they love to do? Raise your hand. Like, come on. We all agree on those things. But nowhere is that being preached or
I don't know if it's that, like, people are scared of saying, hey, who wants to be happy? It's, are you happy?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have a hard time admitting that I'm not where I want to be, or I am, but I refuse to look at my faults, or I refuse to look at where I've been in order to be where I am. Like, oh, this happened. I'm going to just shove it to the side. I'm just going to continue to go on.
I would say that happiness evolves. And I feel that it just becomes more of a journey rather than the destination. I don't fully embrace that concept.
I've heard that a lot.
My mentor I met up on Saturday was definitely...
Oh, I heard the... Big.
Yeah.
Was it the equal? Hyphen. The hyphen. Yeah. The hyphen thing. I listened to that.
Thank you. And it
it's
made me...
It's all about the hyphen.
The way he was stressing it, I'm like, you've seen some shit. this means more to you than it does to me at this moment. And I feel that there's a lot of teachings in this time that are, I guess if you're aware of them, you got to just like hold on to them, but not process them. And that's hard for I guess like people like for us that like, it's like, I want the solutions, answers now. I want this fixed. I want to know what it is so I can, And unfortunately it's not the time, but we're all going through some sort of evolution and you're just realizing that like, look, what I was doing prior ain't working and I have to adjust for the future sense. And somehow that energy has both brought us here where we can probably both agree that we would have never thought. So yeah. I think that there is value in recognizing that amongst, first of all, each other, second of all, of how crazy all these things work with and how the circumstances that we faced have led us to a similar want to grow, even though it's been vastly different. I've seen it in how you post things on IG. It's a, there's positivity here. There is a reach to if you want to be the change you want to see, you got to do it first. And like, you're definitely embracing that shit. And even a couple days ago, seeing you like rant and being loss of followers, I know how that can sound frivolous to some, but it's also in our society where we've been told that number should just go up.
Yep.
And how for specifically for women, that number is valued based upon what you look.
Yeah.
I don't fucking like anybody who would disagree with that message. They just aren't up to your level, because to be honest, it's become that. And that to build a nuclear family is very difficult. Like, how'd you meet that? Oh, how'd you meet the love of your life? Yeah, I saw her on IG with her 82,000 followers. And I know she was the one. She was modeling some Gymshark. I don't want to fucking tell that to my kid.
That's, as opposed whack. To she was modeling Fashion Nova, and I just knew she was the one. Slid into her DMs a couple times.
And I knew once she was drunk and told them and responded to me, I was about that. And that's how that happens here. I'm like, you know what? I guess I'm just a traditionalist. That to me is just not appealing. What I used to think that was appealing, now to me is just repulsive. It's not something that to me has long term effect. I since it's this time of night, I would call it usually the ghost of pussy past, and how it just haunts you. How like the people you've been involved with, for good, better or worse, are part of you for fucking ever. And no matter what you do in life, if you ever encounter them in the same room and you're with a partner yourself, that energy leaks. They fucking know. Oh, have I gotten in trouble with that in my lifetime? They know. They're just like, And I'm like, I'm so into that now. And I'm just like, I'm trying to do less damage to the world and lead by example. It's not terrible. It's honesty. Okay. And it looks like I'm all honestied out. So I think we should wrap up. Do you have any closing remarks? Is there anything you want to say?
There was something I was about to ask.
Oh, go ahead. It's we can keep on going.
Is there like a phrase that you would say that you live by right now?
There is.
Can you share it with us? Ladies and gentlemen, JP. 12.
We're almost 2 hours.
1:20 a.m. Almost at the 2 hour mark.
I was at a 2 hour mark. I think
there's still, I feel like there's still so much we could go off of here.
We're forgetting. So
we need a notebook next time.
I think if there's one phrase that's been just circling through my mind is saying, I forgive you, I understand. And being at peace with that. Just being like, I forgive you, I understand. But like, I mean it. Like, not on some I'm apologizing because I'm above you shit. More like, because I get it. Been there, done that. You know, if you're not going to learn from it today, you'll learn from it someday. And I've really learned from stuff similar. So I forgive you, I understand. And it clears my mind and it's allowed me to be on this recovery journey, so I'm not so spiteful, I guess.
I feel like in a way that's kind of the message we portrayed the whole conversation. If we think about it, talked about friendships and relationships with our dads and different things we face throughout this time, but at the end of the day, you have to come to terms with everyone's fighting a battle. You don't have to take it personal. You got to do what's right for you.
Yeah.
Right? Push yourself forward, because you have to, A, like, I love that you said that you kind of get that from the things that I put out, but you have to be the change that you want to see. You can't just say things. You can't just hashtag things. You really have to put your mouth where you're...
You said that totally backwards.
Put your money where your mouth is. There you go.
You got to put your money where your mouth is. Yes.
Yeah.
I used to be a super poster for things, and now I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to be quiet and just work in silence. And the results are ultimately for me. No one cares. I have to remind myself that no one cares.
Nobody cares.
And that makes every victory better. It makes every, like, post gym, like, looking at the mirror better, because, like, there's no way in fuck I'm going to post it on the internet. But what's impressive is
I stopped caring.
My stuff.
Before, I'd be like, oh, I can't post this picture because people are going to think this. Or I can't post this picture because I look XYZ. I honestly stopped caring. It's funny, I posted a picture the other day and my dad took a screenshot and he sent it to me. And he was like, hey, I don't think you should post this picture because look at this right here. And it's like, he zooms in how the light looks on my nose. Looks like I have a booger or whatever. And I'm like, dad, honestly, even if people think that, I really don't care. I'm not going to put this.
Damn, that's like,
I'm not going to take the picture down. I really don't care.
That's passive, probably. It's not like you got, like, a nipple out. Like,
no, but just, like, either way, it just goes to show that he's trying to look out because he knows that people can be that way.
I mean, that's true. My mom has, like, copied one of my pictures and, like done a Facetune app thing to it and sent it to me. I'm like, you devil.
That's funny.
I'm like, you do not need to do that. So
This is what you look like if your eyes would sparkle.
Oh, my God. Like, if I had a soul, like, whatever my mom thinks of me, oh, who knows? Who knows? Oh, one day I'm gonna find out. Hopefully
that's
soon.
Terrible.
But, like,
no. That's terrible.
Bravo, is there any last words? We've made it to 2 hours. Almost the second longest podcast I've had. Unless you have more questions to grill me down, I think it's time to close shop.
Okay. I think we're good to go. I think we'll have a part two, though.
Okay, so there might be a potential part two. Is there anything you want to plug before we finish?
I don't think so.
Perfect. If anybody makes it to the end of this, I would love to have you send me the emoji with the sunglasses on it. Again, if anybody makes it to the end of this, the emoji...
Because you're blocking out all the fucking shade in your life.
Blocking out all the shade and the haters in your life. They may be a special prize. So
yeah. Wait, before we do wrap up, actually, you know what? I am going to tell people something. Do whatever the hell you want to do in your life. And don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about, like, what society is saying that you're supposed to look like, what you're supposed to say, what you're supposed to do. Do things because they feel right for you, and the right people are going to stick around you no matter what, in your highs and your lows. The people that surround yourself through that time, those are the people that you got to keep around. Those are the relationships you have to invest in. But at the same time, if somebody makes a mistake, you have to understand that mistakes happen, and it's okay to take your time to heal from those things. And when you're ready, you have to be able to say, I forgive you, you know?
That sounds like the title. I forgive you.
I forgive you. I understand.
All right. So thank you for listening. If anybody finds this, thank you, Alex. I appreciate you for showing up to do this. And we'll see you guys next time. Thank you.